Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, before we start today's message, we'd like to take just a minute to invite you to our services this morning. We'll be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and the services will be starting at 10 a.m. with a Sunday school class. Now, right after Sunday school, about 11 a.m., we'll be holding our regular Sunday morning worship services. And then this afternoon, we'll be meeting at 3:45 for prayer meeting, and then again, 4:30 for worship services. Now, for more information about the times, the locations, and the beliefs of our church, I would encourage you to log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org. But for now, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Brother Wayne as he continues on this topic of the way of salvation.
Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? You know, if men are so good that they can save themselves by their being baptized or by their joining the church or by their good works, why did Jesus Christ come into the world? That's a good question, don't you think it is? Look what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 1 and verse 1 through verse 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I think that answers the question. That Jesus Christ is the only one that can ever wash away our sins. No one else can. We can't even wash away our own sins. When Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, had purged our sins, and the Bible says that he sat down. Why? Because the work required for our salvation was completed. Notice in verse 3, the statement, when he had by himself purged our sins. It is impossible to say it any plainer. Jesus Christ purged our sins by his power. And he doesn't need any help from us at all. Because the work of eternal life, the work of salvation, is completed by Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that he has now sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There is absolutely nothing left for anybody to do except to trust in him, to trust in Jesus Christ, because all the work is now finished. All the work of salvation is over. It's simply to trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has finished forever the work of salvation. He doesn't want us to add anything to it. Jesus Christ doesn't want us to add anything to it. And God says nothing needs to be done by humans. Actually, we can't add anything to it. Because if we ever added anything to the plan of salvation, we would actually take away from it. Notice what the Bible states. In the book of Hebrews 1, and beginning in verse number 4, the Bible said here, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Think of this. In the book of Hebrews 1 and verse 4 down through verse 8, there is no one more excellent than Jesus Christ, the Son, the perfect Son of the living God. I don't think we even understand when I say the word perfect what that really means. The word perfect there means without sin. Jesus Christ had no sin whatsoever. He never sinned at all. He never did anything wrong. Why? Because He is the only begotten Son of the living God. Angels may be holy. Some of them are not so holy, as you well know, because Lucifer was an angel. He's a fallen angel. He took a third of the angels with him. But no angel is good enough to redeem the souls of the lost men. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was made lower than the angels. Why? Because Jesus Christ did not die for the angels. Jesus Christ was made lower than the angels because Jesus Christ came to die for human beings, for sinners. That's the way it is. Hebrews 1, verses 4 through 8 tell us very plainly that God has spoken to us by Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. This no doubt is true. God has spoken to us through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has spoken to the entire world. Even though Jesus Christ was a human man, He was without sin of any kind. Therefore, He was accepted by God as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus Christ upheld all things by the word of His power, and by Himself has purged our sins by dying in our place on the cross of Calvary. And then Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. By Himself, by His own strength, by His own power, while He was dead, He raised Himself from the dead. Then He went into heaven, and He sat down, showing that all the work of salvation was forever completed. God doesn't want us to try to add anything to it, because He wants us to be completely and fully satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has given for us on the cross of Calvary. Listen, if we add anything at all to the work of Christ, we are actually stating that the work we add is equal to the work of Christ. And nothing we could ever do is as good as what Christ has freely given to us. We are completely undeserving, filthy sinners. We cannot do anything at all. We must fully trust in Christ. Notice again, Hebrews 1, verses 4 through verse 7 states that Christ was made better than the angels. But He did not die for the angels' sins. Satan has sinned against God, and yet Satan will never be offered salvation or forgiveness. None of the fallen angels has ever been offered eternal life, because Christ did not die for any of them. When the fallen angels decided to follow Satan, their eternal doom was sealed. They are forever unredeemed and cannot be saved from their coming destruction. God has never and will never give the angels an opportunity for salvation. The angels that fell are forever doomed. They will spend their eternity in suffering and torments. But all humans who realize they are also looking destruction square in the face, but turn from their wickedness and trust the finished work of Christ instead of trusting anything they ever do, these will be forgiven and they will spend eternity in heaven with Christ. Hebrews 1, verse number 8, clearly states that God says to His only begotten Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." This is what the book of Hebrews is all about. The book of Hebrews is about how Christ has died for sinners. It's about how Jesus Christ eternally pays their debt in full. There's nothing at all for sinners to do except trust Christ and His finished work of redemption. Colossians 3 and verse 1 through 4 makes this statement. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Since we are saved, it is our place to seek heavenly things, not earthly things. This is what Colossians 3 and verse 1 through 4 very clearly states. Notice the word "if," though, in verse number 1. This word "if" is often overlooked, but this word "if" points back to the discussion of Colossians chapter 1 and chapter number 2. Often it is said that if Christ has done it all, there's nothing left for me to do. This passage declares there is plenty to do. Each believer has more to do as they work in this life, being a witness for Christ. Living, suffering, raising a family, going to work, voting for those running for public office. There are many things a believer can and ought to do for the cause of Christ. But what should a true believer do? Every believer needs to be really busy seeking those things that are heavenly, those things that are above, where Christ sits beside His heavenly Father. Seek heavenly things, not things on this earth. All the things of this earth will soon be burned up when Christ sends fire on the earth and the new heaven and the new earth is created. If believers will be busy thinking about and working toward eternal things and not so busy with the things of this world, it will be much better for us. God knows we need things in order to live. God understands all this. God also knows that He will supply everything for us if we will only surrender our lives in doing what He wants us to do. But notice, the beginning of it all is in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ has died, He has been buried, and He has risen again, and He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. All is completed.
You know, without Christ, there would be no hope for man. Without Christ, we would be doomed to an eternity in hell. But He came and He died for our sins. He rose from the dead and is now sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And there is nothing left but to trust in Him and accept His completed gift. Now, once you're saved, there's plenty of work to do. But in regards to the redemption plan, Christ has done the work. And we pray that if you're lost, that you'll see your need of Him and repent and believe on the Savior. Well, I do see that our time has once again slipped away from us, but we are thankful you're able to attend, and we look forward to being able to share another message about the way of salvation with you next Sunday at 8 a.m.